So what comes to mind when I say these words? Letting go, relinquishing, setting down, releasing, unclasping, shedding, giving in, surrendering, turning over to your higher power, or let go, let God. My friends, we have such a hard time letting go of things, don't we? The most difficult thing, I think, is relinquishing our need for control, giving up the idea that the situations of our lives are under our power alone. But the idea that we can control the outcome of situations or other people's behavior will only make us miserable. It puts us at war with circumstances that are beyond our control. This false belief is the source of much anxiety, fear, and depression. Now, I think it is in our nature to savor the past. We listen to old music that evokes memories, reliving old times with people who were important to us long ago. My husband just paid a company to recover a huge cache of electronic files that we thought we had lost forever. Among other things was a collection of photos and videos and many of Chris's poems and his original music recordings, a couple of cherished voicemail messages that we had saved, all stored on a hard drive that went bad. When we discovered that the hard drive had become corrupted, we went back and forth about whether or not it was worth it, to the money and the hassle, to try to recover all these files, or should we just let them go? But ultimately, we decided that it was worth trying to save whatever could be recovered, if anything. The guys that he hired were able to recover almost everything, and Chris and I have spent time this past week poring through the photos and videos that we haven't seen in years and years. It was a little bit like opening a time capsule. It's been really interesting to look through the pictures that we have collected over our life together. Some of our wedding pictures, the first time Libby played in the snow as a puppy, many vacations and celebrations, and all the different houses and apartments that we have lived in over the years. Everyone looked so young. And when I look at these oldest photos of Chris and I was particularly stunned to see how much younger we looked. And it really struck me, looking at our fresh faces, that we are no longer those two people that we were back then. I winced through a couple of videos of myself from when I was just learning how to speak publicly. I saw a timid and nervous, but also earnest and determined young minister. It was kind of fascinating because everything about me back then was different. My bearing, my tone of voice, the focus of my eyes. That young me was almost unrecognizable to the me that I am now, if that makes any sense. My appearance was so different, but it was more than just lack of wrinkles and the absence of any gray hair. My presentation, how I carried myself, was quite different. I wore my hair long. I dressed in more traditionally feminine clothes. I wore makeup. I have changed quite a bit from that younger version of myself. Seeing those old images brought back the feeling of what it was like to have been living in my skin back then. I walked around carrying so much more fear and anxiety. I spent so much more of my time and attention worrying about what other people thought of me. If you know anxiety and worry, you know how much it saps your life energy. It was like running a program in the background of my mind that slowly and steadily drained down my battery. And it made me realize just how much I have let go of over the past decade and a half. I let go of my need to anticipate and meet other people's expectations of me. I let go of trying to conform to our society's determination of how I should dress and style my hair. I let go of trying to fit into the traditional image of woman minister, whatever that is. I let go of my internalized homophobia, gender stereotypes, and deeply ingrained heteronormativity. Over the course of years, I gradually let go of all that nonsense so that I could be free of those energy, I could free up those energy resources and live more fully into the truth of who I am. It didn't happen all at once, and letting go wasn't easy, especially at first, because not only did I have to challenge my own ideas about who I am, but doing so challenged others to let go of their ideas about who I am. The people who love us naturally see us in a certain way. They hold an image of us that is pleasing to them, what they love about us, and they reflect that back to us. And that's fine, and it can even feel really wonderful, but as we grow and change, that image that they reflect back doesn't always keep up. It can become confining and limiting to our natural growth and development. Now, at first, it's our parents who reflect back to us ourselves. And as we well know, it is the developmental duty of every teenager to rail against the confines of their parents' image of them so that they can discover their own truth. Later on in life, it's our friends and our partners and even our children who hold on to an image of who we are in their eyes. It can take a great deal of effort to wrench them free of their outdated and faulty ideas about us. But if that gap of understanding is not closed, if other people refuse to see the wholeness and complexity of who you really are, it can put up an unnecessary wall between you and them. What eventually happens when two people do not share an understanding of the truth is emotional distance and isolation. And so I wonder this morning, are you feeling confined at all by the image of yourself that you are seeing reflected back to you by your loved ones? And what are those areas of dissonance? How are you different than the ways that they are seeing you? And are you looking at or holding on to a story about yourself or about someone else that isn't letting them truly be themselves or grow into who it is that they're becoming? Sometimes we hold on to an incorrect or outdated image of our loved ones because of fear and anxiety. Parents often resist the knowledge that their child is gay or lesbian or transgender because that's not the image that they had for their child. We tend to resist knowing anything about our beloveds that we view as somehow threatening or disappointing. And I know how very painful it is when adult children have to come to terms with the fact that their parents are aging and losing abilities that they once had. But by refusing to know the truth, we place a barrier between our hearts. Our unwillingness to see their wholeness becomes an obstacle blocking the natural flow of love. No matter how much resistance we may have about seeing our loved ones for who they truly are, there's really nothing worse than that emotional distance that our refusal creates. Letting go and embracing the truth reunites our hearts. Honestly, the practice of letting go has turned out to be the biggest spiritual rush I have ever experienced. So much so that now I am determined to root out and let go of anything and everything that is keeping me in a state of limitation or lack. These days, my spiritual practice is zeroed in on discovering all the limiting thoughts and beliefs that I have been carrying around as a part of my day-to-day consciousness. And as soon as I notice that I'm upset for any reason at all, I go on a search for the thought or belief that I have that something shouldn't have happened the way that it did, and then I let that thought go. How can I possibly know what should or shouldn't have happened in any given situation? What keeps us emotionally and spiritually stuck is nothing other than our own clutching, my own grasping and clinging to what I think ought to happen or how a person ought to behave is the only thing that keeps me from moving freely and easily through my days in peace. And now that I've made that realization, I cannot let go fast enough. There's a poem that I came across by John O'Donohue. It's short. I wanted to share it with you this morning. It's called Fluent. He says, "I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding." And just in case what I'm talking about sounds to you like you should just be passive in your life or ignore the things that are bothering you so that you can be happy, that's not what I'm saying. What I suggest you consider is to let go of control. And I can already almost hear your little mind saying, but if I don't do it, it's not going to get done, or it won't get done right, right? But this is not about putting your fingers in your ears and ignoring what is true. It's not about being passive and giving up all the input in your life. All truth contains paradox. The thing is, trying to control the outcome is not an effective way to meet the needs that you're trying to meet. You attain control by letting go of it. You attain peace by not grasping after it. It's by letting go of the need to find and assert your individuality that you attain your true individuality. Happiness comes only when you stop trying to make yourself happy. The energy of need repels, and anything you reach for in desperation, you end up pushing away. So the next time you find yourself feeling angry, agitated, upset, I invite you to ask, okay, what can I let go of here? This is the practice that I have been working with for the last several years. You're not going to let go of your sense of justice or your sense of right and wrong, but you might let go of needing to be seen as right. You might let go of your righteousness. You don't have to let go of what is true and what matters. It only means you let go of trying to control those things. It means letting go of your ego's attempts to manage and manipulate those things. It's about keeping your ego out of it. Remember, that ego is that part of us that clamps on with desperation and need and defensiveness and hurt. So when we let go of those things, our sight becomes more clear. We become better calibrated. Our navigation gets clearer. Our steering is better. So what I'm talking about is not just about letting go of everything. It's about letting go of what is not real. Those thoughts and beliefs and judgments that contract us in fear. It's about unweighting, unburdening yourself. It's about letting go of the impossible task of trying to control people and things and just doing exactly what you actually can do. It's what the serenity prayer that is used in the great spiritual practice that is AA. That is what the serenity prayer is all about. It's about the wisdom to know the difference between what you can affect and what you cannot. Eckhart Tolle says, "You don't solve problems by thinking, you create problems by thinking." The solution, he says, always appears when you step out of thinking and become still and absolutely present, even if only for a moment. Then a little later, when a thought comes back to you, you suddenly have a creative insight that wasn't there before. He says, let go of excessive thinking and see how everything changes. Your relationships change because you don't demand that the other person should do something for you to enhance your sense of self. You don't compare yourself to others or try to be more than somebody else to strengthen your sense of identity. You allow everyone to be as they are. You don't need to change them. You don't need them to behave differently so that you can be happy. Letting go is about living in the truth, living in the present moment, without seeing reality through those filters of your made-up stories and projections. There is simplicity, clarity, and freedom in this moment, right now. And all we have to do is bring our awareness all the way here to experience it. The present moment is fresh and alive, vibrating with possibility. There's an expansiveness and peace that floods through you when you're able to bring your awareness fully into the now. Gratitude naturally begins to flood through you when you feel that sense of expansiveness. Simply being aware and alive in a body on earth, surrounded by beauty and kindness and love, becomes to you the miracle that it really truly is. May it be so for each of you. I love you. Amen. And blessed be.